The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge won the Berlin Marathon. But do you know who came in second? Well, my next guest knows a lot about second place. He's written a book about the achievements of the nearly men and nearly women, as he calls them, the ones who nearly made it to first place. Mark Mason, do you know who came second in the Berlin Marathon?
I'm afraid I don't. You've got me there. That wasn't part of my research for the book, Orla. But I was really intrigued by it. And there were quite a few athletics ones in the book. And, you know, a lot of the time, the guy that broke the record in Berlin, obviously it isn't luck. He's the outstanding marathon runner of the time. But a lot of the time, it's, you know, it's luck. Like the second guy to run a four-minute mile, the guy that no one's ever heard of, because Roger Bannister got there first, was a guy called John Landy, and it was pretty much, you know, a toss of a coin as to who was going to get there first. And Roger Bannister did it, and then 3 weeks later, this guy called John Landy did it. And actually, Bannister only just got under 4 minutes. He was 3:59.6. John Landy did 3:57 point something. He took, you know, over 2 seconds off it. And the record stood for 3 years. And it was just a case of being 3 weeks too late.
I wonder, does it, how much it forms someone's character going forward? You know, being the person that nobody remembers, the one who came in second place, which in fairness, if it was in the Olympics, you'd be getting a silver medal. Yeah. But to what extent does it impact on people not to have gotten first?
I think a lot of them, the researching for the book, they didn't seem too bothered because I think within their own world, they would have been known. And I think sometimes there would have been relief that they didn't get the fame. That was certainly true with Apollo 12, which I think is, that's the archetypal second. Nobody has ever heard of Pete Conrad or Alan Bean. And they were only the third and fourth men to walk on the moon. Because once Neil and Buzz had done it, nobody really cared about the next one.
And who were they? Who were Pete and Theo? I've forgotten the second chap's name
already. There you go. Even within a few seconds, you've forgotten. Pete Conrad was fast. They were both far more interesting than Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Well, this the thing? Neil Armstrong, we were talking about Neil Armstrong and because of this film.
Oh,
first.
The Ryan Gosling thing.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I was saying to my guest, you know, some of the critics are saying audiences mightn't find it as exciting as we do because it's a very contemplative film and it plays up in Neil Armstrong's personality, which he's always described himself as the kind of the reluctant astronaut and the reluctant American.
I think Pete Conrad, in his way, was very glad about it. He ended up doing an advert for American Express in the 1970s, which the theme of they did a lot of these adverts, and the theme was always it was someone famous where you didn't recognize their face. For instance, they did Mel Blanc, who was the voice of Bugs Bunny, and people like that. And they did Pete Conrad, and in the advert, he said, "You know who I am?" "Of course you don't. I'm only the third guy to walk on the moon." And he later said that he became far more famous for the ads than he ever had for walking on the moon. But he always used to say, they used to ask him, what was it like? Of course, everybody who found out, once they met him and they found out, they were always saying, what was it like on the moon? And he used to go, super, really loved it. He would give a deliberately flippant answer to get it out of the way. And I think in his way, he was relieved that he didn't spend the rest of his life with people coming up to him in the street. You know, once they found it in conversation, that was one thing, but he didn't get the hassle.
That's so true. How often did Neil Armstrong face that question on a weekly basis?
Well, it sort of ruined his life, really, in a way, Neil Armstrong. You know, when he went back to teaching, which is what he'd done before, he hadn't done it before, but he went into teaching for a while after he'd been with Apollo. And, of course, it just, you know, the complete circus that's around you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Must be so hard to put up with. But then there are other ones who, with some of them, it was surprising how long it took the second to come along. The first guy to swim the channel was in 1875. It was a guy called Captain Matthew Webb. There were 80 more attempts before someone managed it for a second time. It took 36 years before the second person swam the English Channel. There was a guy called Bill Burgess from Rotherham. And I love his story. It's a bit like if you remember the Michael Palin series, Ripping Yarns, the spoofs of all those great adventurers. Matthew Webb wore goggles. Matthew Webb hadn't worn goggles. Bill Burgess decides he wants to wear goggles. He wore motorcycle goggles for his swim across the channel, which started to leak and were letting in salt water. He allowed himself 20 drops of champagne per hour. and not a drop more.
What?
Quote, as he was swimming across.
How many hours did it take him?
Oh, it took him a good few. Well into double figures. The best part of 24 hours. But only 20 drops of
20 drops, okay. I suppose he wouldn't be sozzled by the
He's
end of that.
He's not actually going to get that drunk. But,
no.
Interestingly, Captain Matthew Webb, in that meantime, Webb himself had died, but his widow was still alive. And she said she was so glad that at last somebody had done it for a second time. Because for those 36 years, a lot of people had refused to believe that her husband had done it for real. That, you know, it was just impossible to do it. So that was a case of a second coming along and helping the first.
Yeah. Was there any case of someone whose second place was just broke your heart a little when you heard about it?
Well, I think Landy was one like that. Although I think in himself he was quite happy, the four-minute mile guy. Another athletics one that, yes, this story is a heartbreaker. It was a guy called Peter Norman, and he was the guy who got silver medal in the 1968 Olympics in the 200-meter men's final. And the guy who came first was called Tommy Smith, and the guy who came third was called John Carlos. And they were the two black American athletes who did the black power salute on the podium, which is one of the most famous pictures in athletics history.
Yeah.
And Peter Norman is the guy in silver place that nobody ever remembers. He was a white Australian runner. And on the way out to the podium to be presented with their medals, he said he'd realized what they were going to do. And he said, I really support you in this. I want to, you know, is there anything I can do to support you? And he obviously wasn't going to do the black power salute himself because he himself wasn't black. But he borrowed a badge. One of the other athletes had a black solidarity, black power, expressing solidarity with the cause, a badge that symbolized that. So he took that off them and wore that. And also the slightly comical thing is that both Smith and Carlos both had a pair of gloves. And were both going to raise their right fist, which is the black power salute.
Mm.
They realized on the way out that John Carlos had forgotten his gloves. So it was Peter Norman, the white guy, who had the idea, well, why don't you each wear one of the one pair of gloves that you do have?
Mm.
Which is why Carlos is raising his left hand rather than his right hand.
Okay.
And Smith is raising the right. And for the rest of his life, the real heartbreak, for the rest of his career, Peter Norman was shunned for that. A lot of people back home in Australia, you know, this is 50 years ago, remember, race relations were very different back then. He was pilloried by a lot of people for expressing sympathy and solidarity with these black guys from America.
Mm.
But they never forgot it. When he died about 10 years ago, both of them flew across from America for his funeral in Australia. And they said he didn't raise a fist, but he sure held a hand.
Uh-huh,
so it was, you know, he suffered for the rest of his life, but it's nice that they remembered him.
Yeah, true. It isn't just I mentioned the Nearly Men and Nearly Women. You also do the Nearly Mountains and Nearly Skyscrapers. Tell us about the Nearly Mountains, Mark.
The Nearly Mountains. Well, K2, second highest mountain in the world. Now, it's one where you've heard it. Most of us have heard of K2, but it's nowhere near as famous as Everest. But if you are serious mountaineers, they'll tell you that Everest is a far more difficult climb. The K2 is a far more difficult climb than Everest. Only about 300 people to this day have climbed K2, where it's about 3,000 for Everest.
Mm.
And the really intriguing thing is why it's called K2. The range of mountains in that part of the Himalayas is called the Karakoram, or something like Karakoram, that's it, mountains, beginning with a K. And when the Brits did a survey of that area in the 19th century, they called the two highest mountains in that range K1 and K2.
Mm.
Now, K1 has got a local name. It's always been known as Mashabram, which is what it's known as now. Very quickly, K1 was got rid of and Mashabram was used.
Mm.
K2 is so remote, you can't even see it from the nearest village. So it's never had a local name. So that's why it's still known as K2. Now, I think that's a lovely little fact. And if it was the tallest mountain in the world, we'd all know that. But we don't.
But we do.
The second highest mountain.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's called the Book of Seconds, the incredible stories of the ones that didn't quite win. Mark Mason, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Say, if anyone wants any more of this deeply intellectual stuff on Twitter, then it's at WalkTheLinesLDN. Or the website is theimportanceofbeingtrivial.com.
Mark, thanks a mil.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Take care. That book again, The Book of Seconds, the incredible stories of the ones that didn't quite win. This is The Green Room on News Talk.
News Talk 106 to 108.